It is well with my soul. It is not easy with my soul, but it is well. It is not painless with my soul, but it is well. Why do Christians talk like that? What do they know that enables them to talk like that? My soul is troubled, but it is well with my soul. My soul is being ripped apart, but it is well with my soul. My soul is in the agony of Gethsemane, but it is well with my soul. I am under the greatest siege of my life, and it is well with my soul. Are they out of touch with reality, these Christians? Perpetua has died, and you're singing. It is well with my soul. How can you do that? That's what this message is about. The reason this service, with all of its songs that were chosen by the family, the singing, the reason this service, in the shadow of the death of a 12-year-old precious daughter, sister, cousin, granddaughter, makes no sense to the world, is because this family, the soul of that family right there, this service, these songs, are built on six massive, glorious realities that the world does not embrace. And I know that Jacob would want me to, with all my heart, say to those of you who do not embrace what I'm about to say, this is an invitation. Number one, God is more important than man. Two, eternity is more important than time. Three, King Jesus is more important than all other authorities in the universe. Four, the Bible is more important than all other books. Five, to be a child of God is more important than all the fame and all the power and all the pleasure that this world can offer. And number six, God's mission to reach the nations with salvation is more important than all political and international events that ever happen. So not only do these six realities make sense out of this service, they also provide an unshakable foundation where the Broughton family and all of us may stand in the coming days, fearlessly. And as we will see, they were and are the foundation of Perpetua's life. So let's linger over these realities and put our feet on some solid ground here. One. God is more important than man. To whom will you liken me, says the Lord, and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. God is the great reality. He was just there. He never came into being. He spoke, and the universe, with all of its billions of galaxies, came into being out of nothing. He holds it in being by the word of his power. It has, and you have, no independent existence. He governs it, he guides it, he has appointed its purposes, they will stand. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has ever been his counselor, or who has ever given a gift to him that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Jesus Christ, amen. The world will never understand the meaning of mankind until they realize that God is infinitely more important than man. They'll never understand their own dignity. They will never understand their own sinfulness. They will never understand their own destiny. Only when we realize God is infinitely more important than man, are we in a position to ask, what is man? That you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. The glory of man is his unique capacity to know and enjoy the superior importance of God. Does it diminish the love of God for man that in comparison with God, man is accounted as dust in the scales? It does not. It doesn't diminish God's love, it makes it breathtaking. It's called grace. It is a glorious and precious truth that God is more important than man. Two. Eternity is more important than time. Listen up, young people especially, but everybody. What is your life? You are a mist that appears a little time and then vanishes. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Surely, all mankind stands as a mere breath, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Eternity is more important than time. Just do the math. One of the most glorious and terrifying facts is that you don't get to choose. I don't get to choose whether you exist forever. You didn't choose to come into being, and you cannot choose to go out of being. We will all die. And you know what Jesus says to all the dead? John 5, all who are in the tombs will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Every one of you lives forever. Either in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, or apart from God, where there is torment. Let me say this earnestly and compassionately. It is insane. Listen up. It is insane to live your life oblivious of eternity. Number three, King Jesus is more important than all the authorities in the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word, the eternal Word, God and with God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And what happened when he died? In that death, Jesus Christ bore the just and holy condemnation of God on sin in the place of millions and millions of people who will receive the free gift of eternal life by faith. It was the greatest moment in the history of the world. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so there's written on his robe, there's written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is more important than all other authorities. Four, the Bible is more important than all other books. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Every word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So we say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And they're here. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus said. All scripture is breathed out by God, and scripture cannot be broken. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are true, making wise the simple. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. There is no other book like the Bible. This service, these songs, this family is unintelligible apart from the Bible. 5. To be a child of God is more important than all the fame and power and pleasure this world can offer. And listen carefully, because I know that all of you don't trust Jesus. I know that just because of statistics. I don't know most of you personally. But if that's you, if you didn't walk in here identifying as a Bible-believing lover of Jesus, just listen to this. If you trust Christ, here's what is true of you. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with you that you are a child of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided you suffer with him in order that you might be glorified with him. That's true of you. If you believe. So let no one boast in men. This is just an amazing sentence. Let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, child of God. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let this sink in. Through faith in Christ, the creator of the universe, the owner of all things, with all power, all wisdom, all goodness, adopts you into his family. And you become an heir of everything he has, which is everything. You're not slaves anymore. You're not servants. You're not alienated. You're at home. She's at home. She was at home before she died. You're at home in the family, in the big house. Calling God Father not alienated, not far out on the periphery of the plantation. Forgiven forever. To be a child of God is more important than all the fame and power and pleasure this world has to offer. Number six, God's mission to reach all the peoples with salvation is more important than all political or international events in the world, which means all the newspapers get it wrong. All the news shows get it wrong. We don't expect them to get it right because we are aliens and exiles here. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is the great work, this mission to get salvation to the nations, this mission Jesus Christ unleashed by his blood, and he's finishing it by his spirit. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. He launched the mission by his blood. He is finishing it by his spirit. Therefore, it cannot fail. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And therefore, the Apostle Paul said, I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I might finish my course. And the ministry that the Lord Jesus gave me to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. It's all I want. In other words, if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. So, Jacob and Sonia, when you sing, "It is well with my soul," you are not out of touch with reality. Nor is Perpetua. She has been known and loved by the most important person in the universe. She has been forgiven by the King of Kings based on his blood and righteousness. She has been adopted and is a child of God and made the heir of all things. She was and is embedded in the greatest mission in the world. And her short life in time was prelude to eternity. Fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Every dimension of her life draws its glorious meaning not from the words of men, but from the infallible Word of God. Therefore, you will grieve for years to come. But not as those who have no hope. And when you and your children say, "It is well with our souls," you will not be out of touch with reality. Oh no. These are the great realities. God, eternity, Christ, Bible, adoption, mission. And I thank God for you. Thank God for the time I've known you. I thank God for the ministry. I thank God for the service you put together, because you have modeled for us the importance of these things. Lord Jesus, there is no one but you who can break the seal and open the scroll of history. For you were slain, and by your blood you conquered the grave. Help us now as we sing, and in the years to come, keep our feet on solid ground. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.